Good morning, everybody. I'm glad y'all are here. Hope y'all been praying for me. I said, I'm glad y'all are here. I hope y'all been praying for me. Mr. Jim, will you pray before we get started? Okay, so I want you all to, I hope y'all had a good week. I want you all to turn to Hebrews 13, verse 5. So the name of my class is, You Are Not Alone, That God Is With You. And I came to this place that you are not alone, God is with you, because I keep hearing people talk about it's hard, you know, to walk with God. A lot of them are just, it's like a struggle. And the struggle is okay walking with God because we're growing and we're moving and we're learning. And sometimes I think that we don't understand that the struggles that we do have is for a reason and a purpose to push us toward God, to push us toward finding out what's wrong. But on the flip side of that, what I have experienced with talking with people, we're going to live life. We're in the flesh, so we're gonna walk out life. We have connected with God so that He can show us how to do that and to be successful. But sometimes what people fail to do is, when we face a problem when we were not saved, we worried, we did whatever, you know, we had to do to make that happen. Now that you are born again, when you face a problem, you stop. Because you got help. We have to realize we have help. So let's see, that's kind of the avenue that we're going in. Now, we have to learn in life to overcome. That's the word that I guess comes to that overcome. But we have to understand that God is with us, not just something we're saying, not just a title. So I got a question. Do you believe God is with you?
Yes.
Do you believe that you're not alone?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have... Then if we believe that, when we have a problem, when we have a situation, when we have a circumstance, what are you going to do? What'd you say?
Go to Him.
Yes. Now, we say that, but do we do that?
Sometimes it takes a few minutes to decide to do that.
That's good. That's true. And so what I have learned in my journey is that when something happens, Faith, stop panicking, settle yourself down, the situation is real, it's there, what are you going to do about it? My first reaction as a believer, because y'all, we are not unbelievers, we are believers. Pastor Terry said something the other week in one of his messages, and it kind of stood out to me when he talked about the brethren that's in the church that are not, they're false brethren. And that kind of just stood out to me because what came up in my mind was, I said, Lord, I don't want to be a false brethren. I don't want to be in the body of Christ, coming to church, coming to Sunday school, doing all these godly things, and my heart not be for real. You see what I'm saying? So even when we are connecting to someone, I need to make sure that if I have a problem and I come to Mr. Jim, he's going to tell me what scripture say, not what I feel and think. Because he might just be planted there to keep me going in error. Do you see what I'm saying? I want us to think about because we're not alone. I don't want it to be just something we say. I want it to be our default when something happens. So what I have to do is I have to stop. And I have to say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? So while I was studying about this, and then while we'll go back to my lesson, back to Hebrews, while I was studying about this, things started happening to me. I had a person that I was helping that called me, and I mean, I don't feel like doing all the stuff that I do, but I do it anyway because the person needed it. And so they had the audacity to cuss me. And so that's one of my pet peeves that, and I don't know if they felt like they was cussing at me, but you still was using cussing words talking to me, so that's, I just something I don't tolerate with people because I feel like it's disrespectful. So I said, okay, Lord, what do I do? Because this is a family member that really needed help. And so I was like, okay, what do I do? Now, what is the thing that you would say that we would do as Christians? What would you think we would do? But do it anyway. That's what we would say. We'll do it anyway. So I kind of like, okay. Because, see, you have to understand where God has bought me from is that I didn't take a lot of stuff off people. So I'm not that person that you could pop up in my face, you know what I'm saying, and say and do what you want to do. That was not me. And so now, it's like God tempers that a lot of times, but he also has to call my name when people do stuff and say, Faye. I'm serious. He really does. Because I will react. I'm being honest with you. And so when the person did this, it took me about a day or two. I had to think that thing through. I thought, shit. I was thankful to God I didn't say nothing back on the phone. But I thought, how do I handle this? What do I do? And I heard a voice just say, step back from me. And so that's what I did. I stepped away from the situation, and then whatever he told me to do, that's what I did, and it had peace. Now, what I wanted to do was to, you know, I'm being honest with you. What I would normally have done was not a lot of pop, 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 but I would have been at your door in your face, and it wouldn't have been nice. So that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you where I have come and where I'm continuing to come, because I want to be real. I don't want to be a fake person. But then I thought, Lord, the same thing I'm getting ready to teach them, it's like I'm going through this with people doing stuff, you know, and I can't say anything and do anything back. But then the thought hit my mind, but what would And the other week I heard a voice, and this is what it said. Faye, can you please just consider laying your flesh down so I can shine through you without having to get somebody back? Can you do that? Can you do that? Now, that's easily said, but when people start doing it, that's when I have to stop and say, okay, this is about God working on faith. I want you, Faith, to get past that point. I want you to grow past that point and continue to grow and continue to grow because things are happening, y'all, and things are going on. So we want to be, we don't want to talk about being the body of Christ. We don't want to talk about being a Christian. We want to be that in our everyday lives in every single situation. So I want us over this month to, if you have to say it every single day, I want you to read the Hebrews where, and I'm going to show you the scripture where, we are not alone. I don't care what we feel. I don't care what we think. I don't care what we are facing. And I know some people say things is rough. Things is hard. I know that. I understand that. But I don't care what it is. Number one, God knew it was coming. Number two, he's already equipped us because he's with us. And then number two, he knew it was coming. And then he knows that we can overcome if we will follow him. If we will follow him. Mr. Jim.
Talk about a default. Well, Isaiah 46:4 says there's, you know, different translations.
Mm-hmm.
Words are a little bit different.
It says, I forgot I was supposed to say.
I have made you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell them where that is again. Tell them what that is again. You know, that's a good point, is that when we... Randy, what do I do with this thing? Is it something I'm doing?
The mic under the speaker. Move it a little bit.
That away? Maybe? Is that better? Okay, so Hebrews 13... Okay, so Hebrews 13 and 5 says this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Now, what stood out to me right there was the word character. I want us to really think about these things, and I don't want us to just hear. You know how we mental assent to the word of God. In other words, we get into this habit of we come to Sunday school, we come to church and hear preaching, and we think, okay, that's enough, that's good enough for me. We come on Wednesday night, and then we just think when we leave that, well, that's good enough for me. And so we make ourselves feel good because we've heard a message, we've heard something about the word of God, but then we walk away unchanged.
Amen.
And you know how I know we walk away unchanged? Because we revert right back to the same thing we were doing. There's no way that we can come in contact with the Spirit and the presence of God and not be changed.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
If you allow it to do the work in you, there's no way. So then that poses a question, which we won't really get into that, but it poses a question when we're going and we're doing, are we encountering God? Or are we encountering just a good message? We need that deposit to come within us. Now, God is not, he's not human like us. He doesn't have the flaws that we have. So, therefore, we need to make sure that when we come into the presence of God, when we go over here after Sunday school, I don't care what is going on, what somebody has done, that we take our minds and focus it just on him.
Yes.
Just on him. This time is to praise and to worship him. Now we have to go a step further that even when we leave here, y'all, we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have
yes.
to put on the word of God. We have
yes.
to bring our character, who we are.
Yes.
And people always say, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. What you are is what I see you do.
That's right.
Whether you realize it or not. What you are is what I see you do.
That's right.
And what you see me do. If you see me walk outside of here and I flip back to cussing and ranting and raving, that's who I am.
That's right, amen.
And that's what I have to bring to God to change. That's why I'm coming, because I need change. So we have to have the discipline of God to come into our lives. This is not just something we're doing to feel good. This is my life. This is my life. So I have to get to a place to where the word of God becomes my truth. And we have to ask ourselves the question, do you believe the word of God is true? Do you believe that it is truth?
Yes.
Then if we believed it, we would do it. Now, I'm not just talking about y'all. I'm talking about me, myself. This is for me, too. And I believe that God is reeling his body in, his people, because what we're going to have to face in the future, if you don't know, if you don't believe what you know and know what you believe, you won't stand. You won't stand. You won't be an example. Somebody has to raise the standard. Somebody has to raise that flag of truth in the earth. Somebody has to. And so we have to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to be a good wife, a good mother, a good grandmother, a good saved person. This is not fake. This is not something we practice in. This is our life. Until death do us part. Until we leave this earth, we have to focus on and become serious with our walk with God. In every single area, even in your job, that God will overflow and we will know. Because you know what, y'all? When people get in trouble, they will find you. And people know the difference in fake and real.
Yes,
they know the difference. And so what we want to do is we want to be that part of the body that is standing and is showing a picture of who Jesus Christ is in the earth, because that's why we're here. If we're not going to do that, don't play church. Don't play church. Don't play the God card. Take yourself before God, and nobody has to know or see you, but take yourself before God and say, God, will you help me? I'm a mess. Help me. And then we grow. We're not getting saved, y'all, just to say we just come into church. You know, it bothers me when people say, well, I'm saved and I don't have to do anything else. That bothers me because I don't know how you survive. Every single morning I wake up, I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me through this day. And then when things come, I have to stop. If it's a rough moment, I say, God, help me. Help me. So what I want to put in people's mind this month is that God is with you. I don't care what you're going through. He is there. I don't care what you are facing. He is there. I don't want your problem or your situation to overwhelm you to the point to where you feel like you cannot function. And how many of us that say we are saved, that's what we do. When we hit a hard place, we stop. We quit. We get depressed. We get down. Now, I'm not saying that things won't take you there. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying that, and I'll show you where you have the power of God living in you. Your hope of glory, you got it in you that you don't have to default to that. So that we will become who he says we are in the earth. Okay, Hebrews 5 says, make sure that your character, remember the word character. Look up the word character when you're at home. Look at it. The word character. Free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, listen, I will never desert you, nor will I abandon you. Have you ever had a situation where you felt like God abandoned you? Anybody ever had a situation? Y'all talk to me. What did you do? See, you this lady right here been saved a long time, so see, she already know what we need to do. But when we struggling trying to get there to find out what we need to do, I had to be taught, Faye, when you're going through something, don't react, stop, be quiet, stop. Then go to my word and see what my word says about the situation. Sometimes it's not that God is not with us, it's that our emotions have run away with us. And you have to bring yourself back to that point to say, realize God is with you.
That's right.
He's with you. Yeah. Go ahead, Miss Emily.
And that's where God trains us to have faith in him, that even when he feels like he's not there,
yes,
he is there, and he uses that hide and seek to get you to press into him further. What are
yes.
you going to do? Are you going to run from me?
Yes.
Or are you going to believe what I said, that I'm
yes.
still
Absolutely.
So as we age and we stay with God, we could go through a season where we don't feel him, but we know he's still there.
Yes. Yes. And that's what we all have to get to. And that's where we're going. And if you're not there, don't beat yourself up. You can get there. God gave me an illustration about, and I didn't even know why he was giving it to me when I was studying this. He gave me an illustration. Let me put my little paper out. And then we'll go back to Hebrews. I'm not worried about getting a whole lot of information. I want us to soak it in like a slow rain so that when we leave, no matter what we go through, the first thing we're going to default to is God. And what do you want? He gave me an illustration about how a bean grows, how a carrot and a cabbage. And I was like, what is that about? And so all the three of them are in the same soil. The bean, its roots is under the ground, and it rises to the top, and it produces the bean that you can pick it off. And then the carrot, their roots are on the top of the ground, and the carrot is under the ground. And then the cabbage comes up. Again, the roots is under there, but then they come out as leaves. And I said, Lord, what is that about? And it says, all the three of them, the seeds, they're planted in the good soil to grow. All of them produce the fruit. All of them had to be put in the right kind of soil. Sometimes, y'all, we're not in the right kind of soil. That soil has to be productive. It has to have the nutrients in it, which is to us as a person that's preaching and teaching the word of God, the pure word of God. A lot of times people now are preaching a word, but that word is mixed with making you happy instead of growing you. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to be happy. I'm not saying that he doesn't want us to live a good life. But above all of that, he wants, we need to be pleasing to him. Because we are his picture in the earth. And it says, but what we don't understand is all of us, y'all, are growing and moving. Now, we might not be, you might not see, you know, we don't grow the same way. We grow after the same word now. But we may not grow the same way because we all don't go through the same situations in life. But we are growing. So no matter where you are, I don't want you to be discouraged. You keep growing. You keep going out there pulling in weeds around you. You keep pushing that word up on that plant, digging it and pushing up on there and asking God to give you understanding. You keep doing what you got to do to grow until God gets you where he wants you to be. Do not give up. Do not give up. Yes. Yep.
I know this is truth, but I need a sure word from you.
Yes.
And I got it. The other scripture was, in this, if you read Isaiah, it's Isaiah 54, 10 through 17. In that scripture, he promised me that all of my children would be taught of the Lord. You know how many times I've had to remind him of that? Lord, you had the trouble with your daughter over here. Lord, you had the trouble with your son.
Yes.
Guess what? He ain't through with
it. Yes.
And he's working on my children. I saw it. I shared with Pat this morning. Things I saw just yesterday. And he's working on them.
Yes.
Boy, when I need to go back, God, you said that to me.
Yes.
You said that 49 years ago.
Absolutely.
His church was started as a result of him saying,
yes.
I want you to be a leader.
Yes. And we stand here today of something that happened once.
49 years ago.
49 years ago.
God, and this word is real.
Yes. Now see, she has been in God a long time. So it just come on out of her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm serious. When the word of God, when you put the word of God in you, then it'll come up out of you when you need it. Because that's God's faithfulness to us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. So wherever we are, now it's left up to us to listen. But he will speak to you. When he say, Faye, be quiet, that's him saying, I got this, be quiet. But now if I override that and I put my foot in my mouth, then I cause anger and whatever with another person, then that's what I cause. So I have to go back and say I'm sorry because I did that. The devil didn't do that. I did that. I chose to override because I wanted my flesh to be satisfied. You know what I'm saying? See, we got to be real with us. We have to be real with us because I want God to be real with me. I don't want him to let me do whatever I want to do and not correct me. If he did that, he would not love me. And so I think we have to, I really do, y'all. I want the word of God to soak in me, to soak in y'all. That every time I have to share with anybody, I want to share truth with that person. Because when I'm gone, that truth is what will prevail. It is not what I said. It is what the word of God said. But guess what? If a person, you cannot do what you do not know. And so if God, that's why we study. But we have to share truth with people, even though it's a little, it don't have to be no whole sermon. Just share the truth with them. Then when you're gone, that truth that God has planted in them, when they're trying to sleep at night and God wants to deal with them, that truth will come back to them. But sometimes people just don't know. So then what we have to do, y'all, is we have to put our armor on. We have to start being who he said we were. But I, right now, I want you to know that he's with you. So, and we're going to get to the point where the word rises up in us like it do her.
Ms. Faye, you know, you were just talking about putting their armor on.
Mm-hmm.
But in all of the armor, it's all protected.
Yeah.
The only weapon is the sword, which is the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only weapon we
yeah.
have.
And I think, you know, that's something wonderful, because I think sometimes we don't realize that our Bibles is our weapon. We don't realize that what it says in there, if we will use it the correct way, it will work. And we would not have to show our flesh so much. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying?
The enemy knows our triggers, too.
Yes, he does.
And if he knows we're real quick to open our mouth and blast at somebody, he's going to bring those triggers across our path. But God allows it because he works all things together for the good. He wants us to submit to him, resist the devil, from us, and we have to start resisting the enemy when we know he's bringing that trigger. We just have to resist it, and then he'll flee and probably come back for another opportunity later.
Yes, he will. He will.
We have to take that captive, though, and rule over it.
He just knows that if he come in the front door, we're going to see him. So he'll try to come another way. And so, again, we have to keep ourselves soaked in the word of God, and we have to keep even prayer and even worship and praise, so that we are alert.
Somebody said that Christians are like tea bags. They're not any good until they've been through some hot water. King David.
It's rough, but it's right.
King David, I always go back to that scripture in Samuel, when his two wives, Abigail, had been taken off by the Amalekites. Everybody was bitter at him. Because everybody lost their loved ones. They talked of stoning him. He inquired of the Lord.
Yes.
Says he strengthened himself in the Lord. And
wow.
The bottom line is, you and God are a majority. When you're in a hot water like that and everybody's talking about stoning you and different things, you got to know that you know.
You got to know that you know.
And that word is a sword.
Yes.
And when you come in, the Latin word that is sermon, it's to stab or thrust through.
Mm-hmm.
Word, it should stab or thrust you through it and bring that change. See, it isn't coming to hear a nice little soothing thing. If you come to be changed.
Yes. And when we hear the word of God, even when we read it, we think sometimes that, well, I done read it, that's enough. But really, when we read the word of God and then we put it in us, and then the Spirit of God comes and it unveils that so that we can walk it out, or he teaches us through that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We think we do the work. We don't do the work. The Spirit of God does the work. That's what I'm trying to say.
And say we renew our minds when we take the word and speak it.
Yes.
The thought comes, we take the word of God against that thought.
Yes.
And renew our minds. So
yes. If you hit a point, say if somebody said, well, I'm depressed. As what you need to do is, if you feel like you're depressed, you need to go to somebody that has the power of God in them, word of God in them, have them to tell them where you at, let them pray over you. But then the one thing you have to do is, the scripture said that you pull down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It is the knowledge of God. God doesn't want you depressed. But then you have to pull it down, and then you have to renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind in that area, let me tell you what my third question is. If you don't renew your mind in that area, then you have help, but you're not using the help. You're not using the help. Do anybody in here have a situation or a problem that you're facing right now that you feel like it's overwhelmed, that you're overwhelmed? We're going to solve that for her, so she'll know exactly what to do when she leaves here. I'm going to read this, and then we go into that problem or that situation. Okay, it says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. A minute ago, when she was talking about when she was talking about the situation that God had spoke to her in 1977, did you say? Okay, now, today, what is that? Almost, that's a long time. Yes, but she is confidently, the words she heard then, 49 years ago, she is still today confidently speaking that word because she know that God is true. You see what I'm saying? She's confidently speaking that word. Yeah. Keeping on going. I like that. Keeping on going. What will man do? The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid to speak God's word in a situation because his word is his word and he backs his word. Again, I don't have to perform it. All I have to do is stay in the line and be obedient to what he is saying how to do it. Okay, so let's go. Let's jump over here to another place right quick. I don't have, what time is it? I can't see that.
It's 10 o'clock.
Okay. I have to go fast. Oh, gosh. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, I'm still in Hebrews 5-9, who spoke the word of God to you and considered the results of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we look at situations and we think, well, God, I just don't know about that. It doesn't matter what it is. Again, he's God. He stands alone. No, nothing in this earth is more powerful than he is. Nothing in this earth has more wisdom, has more knowledge than he does. Nothing. Nothing. Do not be, listen to this, do not be misled by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by food, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. If you know what the word of God says, if you know, and if somebody tells you something and you feel like I don't understand that, then go to one of the pastors, one of the elders, go to somebody you got trust in that knows you're going to tell the truth, and let them tell you about that, give you understanding about that so that you can do it. Do you not know that you cannot do anything you don't understand? Sometimes we think, okay, I just heard what the word said. But you can't do it if you don't understand it. That's why we have to stay in it and labor in it and dissect it and say, God, what are you saying? Because I don't get it. I don't understand it. Pastor John talked about something the other Sunday that I bet you I've heard that read 100 times, if not more, since I've been saved. And I never clicked until he said it, standing up there the other week. I mean, it's like, it just kind of went in me and said, that's it. Do we ever get to the point where we really understand that sin has no dominion over me? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have to bow to it. I don't have to allow it to be in my life. I don't have to allow it to tempt me, whatever. I do not, that I have total control to stand here and say, I don't have to participate in that anymore. That is my choice. Because God has already given me the ability, the strength to overcome. He has given that to me, my freedom. That now when you go out or when you're facing life, you realize in that area, that don't matter no more. That's been conquered. But when you get that in here, when you get that, then that situation is settled. Now, if you have a problem or a situation you're dealing with, you have to look at that thing honestly. Like we said, let's go through that right quick because I don't want to not give her what she needs. You have to look at that problem. You have to understand where that problem came from. What am I going to do? First of all, settle yourself down. Look at it. Settle yourself down. And then you pray and say, God, I am facing this. You dissect it. This piece is over here. 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 What do you want me to do about it? And if he don't speak to you immediately, then you have to wait. While you're waiting, what will you do? You're going to go to the Word of God and find out what he's saying. Because that's what you stand on. I don't care what the situation is. Now I go to the Word of God and I find out, okay, what do I do? And I stand on that. And then I keep praying. And I keep praying. And then and I have faith, as she said, and I trust. But then how does my faith come? So what am I hearing to solve my problem? So does my feelings, can my feelings, and can I bring my feelings over there to the Word of God and say, well, I know what you said, Lord, but I feel like I need to do this. I'm serious.
That's how it is. We're stubborn. We're egotistical and stubborn.
Yes.
So we're not. And then it can pop up, but then we realize, but until we get to where we can catch it, it's a progress.
We're growing and we're moving. But make sure we're growing and moving.
Right. Absolutely.
And we're not, you know, we can build a camp in some places. We can camp out there and build a house. So we have to make sure we're growing and we're moving. Mike Duncan, did you say something?
He said 40 days, 40 years.
I prefer the 40 days. Sometimes it's taking a little longer. Go ahead, honey, I'm sorry. Where's our power at? Okay, let's read right here where God has equipped you. Acts 1 and 8 said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. John 16 and 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show, disclose to you things to come. Now, I want to go back just 1 second about when she said the word, when she used the word judge. People, and I'm not saying this concerning you, I'm just making a statement. People now, when they are in a situation, in a circumstance, or however, make a mistake. So some things may be a mistake. I don't think all of them are. I just think it's what we want to do. Because we want to satisfy our flesh, and we have to come to the understanding that if you have an appetite, you need to cut that appetite. You know, you need to get rid of that if that's not good for you. And that's pretty the bottom line. We have to be careful that we don't get the word judge mixed up with correction. Because in life, we're going to be corrected. A person is not judging you when they correct you. That's really the love of God they have towards you to come alongside you. Now, the way we do it and how we do it is what counts. I have to come to you as if it were me. And so I have to handle you with the love of God and with much honor and respect. I don't come to you acting crazy or talking crazy. But when a person comes to you, we have to get rid of that in us, that when somebody points something out or when somebody sees something, if they love you, they'll come to you in the right way. But we have to get rid of that you're judging me. That's not judging you. That's keeping you from going off the mountain, so to speak. If I'm driving my car and you know it's a cliff over there and you don't tell me, yet you say you love me, that's not love. That's not love. So when somebody is trying to stop you from going too far, again, handle you the right way, talk to you the right way, as if it were me, then that's not judging you. Judging you is when I tell tell you where you're going. You know what I'm saying? I can't say if you don't stop doing that, you're going to hell. What I can tell you is that I'm serious. That's what we do. What I can tell you is that let me help you so that your life would be better to keep you from going through so much. Can we handle it that way? You know what I'm saying? Now, the truth of the matter is, if you keep doing what you're doing, there's a consequence to it. We think everything is the devil. Some things it's not the devil. It's you not making the choice you need to make.
That's right.
And we have to get to that point to where we cannot be lazy Christians, y'all. We cannot be lazy people that don't want to change. Again, remember what Pastor Terry talked about the false brother. We don't want to be false brethren in the church. When we come here, when we come every single time, for Sunday school, for church, for Bible class, we're coming so that the deposit of God can be placed, something can be placed in us from the word of God that makes us better, that makes us stronger. That's how God loves us, because he sends people to tell us the truth. Truth does not always feel good. It doesn't always feel good, but it's good for you. If we will understand, because we have to conquer, y'all, we have to conquer these appetites of what we want to do so that we can submit ourselves under the word of God so that we can be who he wants us to be in the earth so that other people will see, not by just what you're saying, but even by your lifestyle, oh, it's something different about them. So that they will come and say to you, you know what, I don't know what it is about you that, but, you know, I need what you have. I don't have that peace you have. Then in that opportunity, you can give that away to them. That's what we have to become. That's what we have to do. Now, quickly, four things. I might just need to wait and come back to it. But I want you to know, and I want you to put it in you. Go back and read Hebrews again. Tell God, ask and pray and ask him to help you to understand that he is with you. He's never going to desert you. He will not abandon you. Then another portion of that says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. When we falter to do things our own way, that's because we don't believe that God will not fail us. And I'm saying we got to get to the root of us, y'all, so that we can stop rehearsing going around the same mountain 50 times. We have to get to that point. I'm talking about myself, too. I'm not just talking about y'all. I'm talking about myself. I face life, too, just like you face it. It's just some things don't shake me like it used to because I know now. Because I tap into God and I say, okay, God, either I'm going to trust you or I'm not. If I'm not, then I'm not going to play the game. You see what I'm saying? This is for real. Life is for real. Life is handing down some hard stuff right now for people. And we have to pull up our lawns. We have to get strong now more than ever before for ourselves, for our families, for our wives, for the church. We don't even need to be fussing and bickering among each other. We need to be praying for each other. I'm telling you, y'all, we need to get on top of where we are. We need to go and look at ourselves clearly in the mirror and say, God, show me me. And then go into his presence so that he can change you. Trust what his words say. If he says he's not going to leave you, he's not going to forsake you, he's not going to leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Assuredly not, I will never abandon you. Whew, I hope I said something today that helped. I really do. I want you to look at one more thing. John 10:10 said this. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. If the thief is operating in any way, if he's sneaking in, if he's knocking on the window, knocking on the door, trying to put something under the door, he's a thief. If he coming, he coming to take from you. Don't let him in. His aim is to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy you. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. That's God's plan for us. Father, I thank you this morning for this Sunday school class. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us that we are not alone, that you are with us. And Father, help us through this week to take what your word said. Take what your word said, to trust your word, to have faith in you, God, that you are with me no matter what I do, no matter what I'm going, you are with me. No matter what I face, you are with me. And not only that you are with me, God, but if I would take a moment to pray, if I would take a moment to acknowledge you, God, you will show me exactly what I need to do to come out of this, to come on the other side of this, to where I have peace in my spirit. I have peace in this situation, no matter what the outcome, that I trust you. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for every one of us, God. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. You've given us your mercy and your grace. And God, we just ask you to continue to change us, to be transformed into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all so much. Yeah.